This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Riverdale After Dark, a podcast about the CW's Riverdale that's coming in right on the hiatus with a very special episode. I'm Alex.
Sometimes you get to actually sit down with the dark itself. I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we, as mentioned, have a very special episode with you today because we have here Roberto Aguirre-Sacasa, the showrunner of Riverdale. Roberto, welcome.
Hi, guys. It's very nice to be here. Nice to be chatting with you.
Oh, my gosh. We're so excited.
It's an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being supportive of the podcast. Thank you for the awesome show, Riverdale. We appreciate it.
Yes. I know.
Thanks so much for that.
That's it. That's all we got.
I know we have only a little bit of time, so I think what we're going to do is just shout some ship names at you and just demand to know if they're endgame, and then we can kind of go from there.
Okay.
Good starting point.
No, I'm kidding. I actually do want to take a step back because I'd love to talk about season five in particular, but season planning in general. You've had a rough time of scheduling things for the past three seasons, at least. Like, different things have happened each season that have kind of thrown things in flux. Season five, you had the leftover from the end of season four, then going into here. So what was the plan going into season five, and how did that match up to where you ended up?
I think the biggest sort of monkey wrench was that we were filming, I think, episode 19 or 18 or 19 of season four when the pandemic hit. And we were one of the first shows. I remember it was funny. I was in New York, and there was a TMZ article that said possible COVID exposure amongst the Riverdale cast. And someone said, "Hey, have you seen this?" And I was like, "Oh my God, like Riverdale is a show on fire. Now COVID is there." We were shooting our senior prom episode. We'd actually just shot the senior prom, and then we shut down. And we couldn't finish the season, which would have ended with the kids' graduations. That would have been the end of season four. Season five would have started with the seven-year time jump 7 years later. The way things worked out, though, we couldn't finish season four. So when we came back for season five, we had those three episodes of a wrap up. So, yeah, it was a little bit weird. We didn't have the usual break to sort of reset the show. We immediately dove back in where we left off in season four. People were a little confused by that. And then we immediately did a time jump, and that was a little bit disconcerting as well. Yeah, that does sort of happen a lot. It was only three episodes, but it did throw off the rhythm, I think.
Well, and you know, it's sort of like making lemonade, but I actually like getting a little bit those three episodes before the time jump because it puts everything sort of right there in front of our faces. And then the time jump, it's like you can see the change in such a fun way.
Yeah.
So it worked.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. And, you know, when we even started talking about leaving the high school world and, you know, not really being that into doing a college show, when we kind of knew we were doing the time jump, there was a worry, not really up from other people. I had a little bit of a worry that, you know, Riverdale, not so much Riverdale, but the Archie Comics characters, they're so associated with high school. They've always been teenagers forever. So the idea of moving them into adulthood, it was a little bit nervous making for me. Also, a lot of our fans, we do have older fans, but we do have younger fans. And if we don't think about them that much every so often, I feel like we do one of our storylines And I think, geez, are the 12-year-old preteens who watch this show really that interested in a gang war? But I was afraid to leave the high school world. So you're right in that respect. It was nice that we could come back and still sort of say goodbye to that world before we moved on. That was one nice thing, I think.
Well, one of the interesting things I think about the season as a whole, and again, I'm curious to get your feedback about this, is it really almost eschewed ships in a certain way. There was still ship stuff. There was still relationship stuff going on and a lot of shakeups there, but it was really about the character's trauma. We talked about that a lot on the podcast and digging into that. So where did the germ of that idea come from, and how much did you plan out in terms of them initially having those traumatic experiences, war for Archie, Jughead, what happened in New York, the mystery over the course of the season, Betty and the TBK, and versus where it ultimately ended up?
You know, it's a really good question. At the beginning of each season, we sort of talk about characters, different journeys or arcs through the season. We'd spent a couple of weeks talking about our characters, and we didn't have all the particulars, but this theme or this idea that they'd all left Riverdale and somehow been traumatized sort of did start to emerge. And then when we landed on that, we sort of immediately glommed onto it and sort of started writing to that. So it kind of emerged out of our conversations. And once we sort of landed on it, we didn't know exactly what had happened to Jughead in New York and what the trauma was. I think
Having the rat in his mouth, just my observation.
Originally, it was just like he was mugged. Yeah. I read in the New York Times or I saw on the news the horrible story about the guy who fell in a sinkhole and then rats crawled over him. And it's like, well, that's what happened
to Jughead. That's so funny.
That's what I appreciate is how you can take a normal thing and then really crank it to 11. You know what this scene needs? Yeah. A bear fight. You know, some floating babies above a fire. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you have a great eye for like turning things up.
And then there was so much about, you know, we kind of wanted to do, like in terms of our weird Americana stuff, we wanted to do something with alien and alien abductions and things like that. And so many of those stories are, of course, stories about repressed trauma that manifest as people talking about being abducted, that it felt like, oh, this, all these pieces might sort of synthesize into something. But yeah, it just comes out of the very long discussions we have about these characters.
Talking about the trauma just for a little bit longer, not that they're ever going to necessarily let go of it, but Jughead's trauma at least is dealt with in a certain concern. Archie's trauma is dealt with in a certain concern. Betty, though, we still have that dangling thing of TBK out there. Veronica seems mostly okay after the helicopter crash. So how do you sort of set those things for the core four characters where, okay, Archie and Jughead, that's their arc. Betty, we're going to leave that for the next season, for example.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. With Betty specifically, we did think that we were going to resolve TBK, the trash bag killer, in season 5. But two things happened. One is we kind of realized that he's actually a very creepy villain.
Truth.
And then two, we felt like having Polly be abducted and then discovering that she had indeed been murdered, it felt like we could play the emotion of that. And that would be a little bit maybe satisfying enough to kick the TBK can down the road a little bit. And so we kind of focused more on Betty and Alice and Polly's disappearance and the Starkweather family at the junkyard, and decided to hold TBK a little bit. And, you know, we didn't, you know, say, well, everyone's trauma has to be unpacked this season. We didn't follow that rule so specifically. You know, we were happy that Archie processed his trauma, that Jughead processed his trauma. Veronica's was a little bit different. Veronica's storyline was much more with Chad, and it was less about I'm dealing with a trauma as opposed to I'm dealing with this horrible situation that I let myself get into. And Betty's is, we're going to explore more of what happened with TBK in season 6.
From a writing standpoint, because I think talking about Betty's story this season, So much happens in every episode of Riverdale. We talk about it all the time. And jumping from like high, very intense emotional moments to something that's a little bit lighter or more of like a horror vibe to it. Like, how do you get that pace in your writing? Does it happen naturally, or is this something where you're like, we can do more here?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I always say that when we break each episode, I think it was like, maybe it was season one or something. We did an episode, I think, where it was Polly's baby shower. One of the network executives said something like, yeah, I don't know, baby showers on Riverdale, it just doesn't feel like like that's sort of like your bread and butter. Like any show can do a baby shower story. And that, yeah. And that kind of stuck with me. When we break the scripts, we do try to make sure that everyone's got really strong actions. We try to make sure that we're sort of exploring a genre. And usually when we break it up, the first drafts of every episodes are very long, and then we sort of whittle them down. But in distilling them, it does feel like oftentimes we're juxtaposing different tones or different worlds or different characters in a sort of more extreme way than other shows might. But again, you know, I love all the different tones and genres, and I don't think that, just generally speaking, I don't think shows can only be one thing or shows can only have one tone. You know, I like movies that mix tones. Movies very rarely do. I like novels that mix tones. Yeah. That's something that I like. So I don't bump on it. I mean, every so often there'll be a juxtaposition. I'll be like, ooh, this is actually a little too jarring, but it's rare that happens.
It's truly Riverdale's the jingle jangle of television, and we love every minute of it.
I want to ask you the most pressing question on every fan's mind, if you don't mind. Where's Toffee? What's going on with Toffee the cat?
Is Toffee okay? Can you give us like one shot of her just like, okay?
I know. We became a cat household during the pandemic. We've always been a dog household here. And we adopted a kitty that was dumped in a dumpster that was found, that we found. So we've now become cat fanatics. Alas, we became cat owners after Toffee's off-screen fate had been sealed. This may not be the end of Betty and Cats, but it might be the end of, wait, is it Toffee or Caramel?
Caramel is the one that got killed. Toffee's her FBI cat.
Her FBI cat. That's true. That's right. That's right. That's right.
And I have a theory that I'd like to propose. Is Toffee in a cat briefcase where one end of the briefcase is food and the other end of the briefcase is kitty litter? So it's a perfectly controlled environment that that Glenn is maybe carrying around Toffee in a cat briefcase.
Potentially.
Great. I'll take that as a confirmation.
The confirmation.
Yeah. Yes, confirmed.
Well, I would just like to say thank you for the way that you kind of paid homage and continue to pay homage to Luke Perry. It's such an amazing actor to have on the show. One of the reasons that I came on board to watch it. So like, to me, like, you know, obviously super sad, rest in peace. But like the way that like his spirit has stayed with the show, the Archie moments have been so beautiful and very touching. So I just wanted to take a moment and say thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm with you. I don't know that the show would have connected and resonated the way it did that first season, if not for Luke. I think it helped people, one, take the show a little bit more seriously, but two, you know, everyone loves Luke and feels fondly towards him. So in my mind, everyone felt fondly towards Riverdale because it's like, great, I get to spend a little more time with Luke. It was really interesting. Probably 2 or 3 months ago, I was unpacking my childhood comic book collection, which was like 20 long boxes of comics. It's kind of insane. But one of the boxes had old magazines. And amongst them, there was an old issue of Entertainment Weekly with Luke Perry on the cover. I mean, this is now from like 25 or 30 years ago. It was an interview that he gave when he was on Beverly Hills 90210, and his cowboy movie 8 Seconds had just come out. And it was such a so jarring. first of all, how young he looked on the cover. And then I reread the interview, and he's so no nonsense. And he was Luke, and it was, I got really emotional thinking about what he meant to everyone and what he meant to me. That was my teen show. That was the one teen show that I really loved, was 90210. And I've kind of watched every episode. His spirit lives on for sure in the show, and definitely in Archie. And you know, KJ had a great friendship with Luke. We do try to keep Fred's spirit alive and Luke's spirit alive when we can.
I love it. And I love the amount, like Pete was saying, that you really dug into it and keep with it. That's really a wonderful thing to see on the show. Not to completely jump ahead, but a little bit of a bomb actually dropped right before we got on with you.
Minutes before we started talking to you.
With a minute-long trailer for season 6. And there's a line in particular there that I think is freaking people out. Betty says to Archie, "There's nothing more that I want than to have your baby." What's going on? Pete's nodding his head.
Some of us are here for it.
I haven't even seen this trailer. What else is in it? I haven't even
I love it so much.
Oh my gosh. So I mean, the big moments that I wrote down are, there's some sort of devil that Reggie and Veronica seem to be dealing with. Okay, there's a veiled figure who is taunting Tony. Yes. There's Jughead narrating and calling it Rivervale, which really bothered Pete. Pete's very disturbed by that.
The title at the end doesn't say Riverdale anymore. It says Rivervale. So we're watching a new show next season, I guess.
Yeah,
and then Betty says that to Archie.
Yes.
Yes.
So I guess the trailer reveals that Betty and Archie are still somehow part of the show.
Yeah, they didn't blow up, which is weird. Okay.
We have some questions.
Listen, I appreciated that the first trailer didn't immediately show Betty and Archie, obviously because they were blown up at the end of season 5. But yes, all those things happen in season
5. Good. Checks out.
Yeah. Are you able to say, I mean, I don't know if you want to confirm this or not, is Rivervale, is this some sort of anthology thing? Is it an AU, an alternate universe, or is it in continuity, or a little bit of all of that?
I'll say two things. One is, it is in continuity for sure. And two, we have flirted with the horror genre throughout the first 5 seasons. And some might say even more than flirted, we kind of did do horror stuff. I will say that in our first kind of big story arc for season 6, we do kind of embrace horror as a genre fully. And that was really fun. And it does feel like the first few episodes are sort of like, imagine Riverdale as Tales from the Crypt episodes, or Twilight Zone episodes and things like that. And it's been, I think that was really fun for us in the writer's room. And I think really fun for the actors and the crew to kind of fully embrace this different genre.
Well, and the big thing at the end of the trailer is that Sabrina comes in. We finally get to see her talking to Cheryl, which is very exciting.
You actually see her in the trailer?
You actually see her in the trailer. Okay. I love that we're telling you the news about
this. Great. I can't wait to see it. That's
It's such a punch at the end. It's great. But
to that end, and it sounds like you're talking about this a little bit, we've always talked about how there's this sort of reality bubble around Riverdale where you can't quite cross into the line of, you think maybe it's aliens, but it's not aliens. You think there's a stick monster, but it's actually a chick under there, that sort of thing.
Right.
Bringing in Sabrina, does that break that bubble? Are we going to see legit real magic in the upcoming season?
You know, that's a really good question. It does feel like that is a line that we resisted crossing. And I think at first it was sort of like WB and CW were like, you know, don't cross over into the supernatural and keep it tethered to some version of reality, though. Really, you're right. Riverdale is a bubble in which everything within it reflects nothing like the real world. Do you know what I mean? We don't try to.
Yeah.
But that has been a line. I feel like as we've gone on and as the show has expanded to come a little bit more of a genre show, I think there's more of a openness to exploring that, probably in a grounded way. I could say that, we potentially do cross over into some supernatural areas in some parts of the Riverdale universe. in a very, for Riverdale standards, grounded way.
Mm. I know we're going to have to let you go in a minute, but I did want to hit you with some maybe like frequently asked fan questions that maybe you can give feedback at, back
or not.
But so one is Pussycat spinoff. You had that great episode in the middle of the season. At least as far as I had heard, it was more not an actual backdoor pilot, even if it was set up like a backdoor pilot. But is there any possibility there that we might see a Pussycats spinoff in the future?
Yeah, I obviously am a huge fan of the Pussycats. We were going to continue the sort of the Pussycats adventures more in Katie Keene. Unfortunately, Katie only lasted a season.
Such a great show.
I know. It was so fun.
So
special.
So fun.
And beautiful.
Especially as New Yorkers. We're all New Yorkers. And that.
I know.
It just was such a heart. You know, I had the heartbeat of that show.
It was brutal. Listen, you know, I'm really satisfied with the four parts that we did of Sabrina. Like, I would have loved another part or season on Netflix. We did 36. We didn't hold much back on Sabrina. I feel like on Katie Keene, we were just getting started. So that was a heartbreak for me and Michael Grassi, who was my co-creator on that, and Lucy and Ashley and the cast. So we really wanted to honor the Pussycats and find out what had happened with Josie and what had happened with Melody and Valerie. And I think people really responded to the episode. In my mind, I'd be thrilled to do it. I think those ladies deserve a spinoff. And we'll see. It certainly showed that they are welcome to come back to Riverdale and to be a part of Riverdale anytime they want. Certainly it showed that all three of them are superstars. That was a really fun episode for us to do.
Yeah. Something that we talk a lot about on the show is the idea that fans are always asking about, oh, is Varchi endgame? Is Barchi endgame? Is Bughead endgame? Et cetera, et cetera. And we always kind of like to say, or at least I like to say, that there's no endgame until there's an actual end of the show. If you look at like Veronica and Archie got back together and then they were broken up the next episode. Do you have endgames in mind? Are there actual things you're heading towards, or do they... is it actually loose until you have that final plan in place?
Yeah, I think that we maybe had loose ideas and kind of thought, oh yeah, Betty and Jughead will end up together and Veronica and Archie will end up together. Yeah, I think smart. Especially for the first few seasons that felt like what we were following. And it felt like after the time jump, if we were going to sort of reset or shake up the status quo, it was the time to do it. And then when we sort of like, okay, time to bring Varchi back together, time to bring Betty and Jughead back together.
Bughead.
It did feel like we hadn't really explored what the alternate versions of that could be. Like, we've never done stories where Veronica's dating many guys and things like that. So I think we kind of were excited to explore that. And the truth is, you know, shows evolve, people evolve, characters evolved. We are kind of following a little bit what we feel is true for the character, which is a long way of saying, I'm not sure that anyone is endgame right now, but we do still have a while before we get to those final episodes. So who knows who will end up with anyone. I mean, listen, for all I know, like, guy, I wouldn't even know what to mix up, but we don't have a set end game in mind at this point.
Could be Sabrina and Archie.
It could be Sabrina and Archie.
That would be awesome.
Let's just be happy we're in a time of Barchi.
Well, that's not. I mean, some of us were, you know, Bughead fans because that's how we were raised in season one and two. And right now we're having our hearts ripped out of our chest and we don't know what to do or what's up or down.
Like Tabitha and Jughead?
Sure, but you know, we were born and raised on Bughead.
And born and raised
because, like, the dark side of Betty and Jughead just seem to mix and they can solve crimes together. It's magical,
right? I hear you.
Pete's been holding this in the entire time we've been talking,
sorry.
So I just need to get it out.
Huge fan. Stan's gonna break.
Love your work.
Yeah, I do like Tabitha and Jughead, I think they're very cute.
Me
and,
too.
I'm excited to see them explored more over the course of the next season. I mean, to that end, and again, this kind of ties back maybe to the what exactly is this 5-episode event thing, but there's been a lot of questions about, you have the 5 episodes, then there's the rest of season 6. is this all one continuous story, or do you have the five episodes leading into the rest of season six, or where does that fall there?
The first five episodes absolutely lead into the rest of season six. In usual Riverdale fashion, it may take a little bit of time for the connection between the first five and the rest of season six to emerge, but it's definitely in canon. It's definitely informing the rest of the season and in ways that are subtle and in ways that are absolutely very cause and effect, not subtle.
Yeah. I know people are going to get mad at us for all of the ships and things that we probably skipped talking about. So real quick, is there any hope in the future for Shoni?
Yes.
All yeah. Right.
Great. Meeting adjourned.
Yeah. Well, should we just go out on that high?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I did want to ask the last thing before we let you go is episode 100 is coming up. I believe you guys are filming that right now. You wrote it. Gabriel Coria is directing it. Yeah. It seems like maybe it's going to be guest star packed, as you'd expect from an episode 100. Is there anything you can tease from that?
Oh, wait, does it seem like it's going to be guest star packed?
I don't know. There's been a lot of speculation online about people being back in Vancouver potentially for the episode.
Interesting. Okay, you as usual know more than me.
Love it.
Listen, I think it's a pretty momentous thing. I think it's pretty special.
Yeah,
sure, definitely. Let's say some old faces may pop up.
All right, awesome. Nice. Roberto, thank you so much for the
time.
Thank you so much for chatting. We really appreciate it. Keep up the great work. Can't wait to see season six. I'm very nervous.
Amazing, guys. Well, thank you so much. Thanks for being supportive. I'm about to hop off and track down that trailer.
Enjoy. There's a lot of surprises. And for all of you out there, if you'd like to support this podcast, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Crowdcast on YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Riverdale. iTunes, Android, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and support the show. Wait, I'm going to look it up instead of getting it wrong, but comicbookclublive.com for this podcast and many more. At Riverdale Dark on Twitter, Riverdale After on Instagram, Riverdale After Dark on Facebook. Until next time, we'll see you after dark.
Toffee briefcase confirmed.